in Colossians 4, Colossians 3. We may be in Colossians 3 when the Lord returns. Who knows? Depends on your eschatology. If you're a pre-tribber, probably not. If you're a post-tribber, maybe so. I don't know. We'll see. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. And let's continue where we were on Sunday morning here. Everyone say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If you love his word, as you're seated tonight, let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, and we bless you, and we thank you. Praise God. Well, what a good God. And it's a great day. Our institutions are falling apart. The experiment in socialism is a complete train wreck and disaster. There's more poverty in this country right now than there was when Lyndon Johnson started the war on poverty. More drugs than when they started the war on drugs. And we're a lot poorer for the venture. The outcome is you can't ever obviate the wisdom of God and succeed. And liberalism and socialism is a failed experiment in Russia and in China. And the only success they're having at all is that they are going into some commercial markets and they're doing some free enterprise things, and it's lifting the rest of their economy. If you really want to get a good look at socialism, communism, go down to Cuba. Check them out. They're frozen in place where they were in 1959. And it's a miserable place to live. And so the academics are all about it, but they've got fruit salad between their ears, and they just really don't get it. The word of God just simply says, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. And the word of God is all about personal liberty and personal ownership of property and all of that. Well, what does that have to do with you tonight? Well, it has to do with the fact that the institutions are falling apart and ISIS is about to take Baghdad. And Ebola is popping up in Dallas and in the heartland in, what is it, Nebraska or Kansas? And some lady just got diagnosed with it, and she just got off a plane where she met all kinds of nice folks in the airport and at the drink stand, and yeah. Ebola everywhere. I'll tell you, it's always been a good day to know God, but it's really getting to be a good day to know God. It looks like plagues and wars and rumors of wars, and it sounds a whole lot like Luke 21 and Matthew 24 and the book of Revelation. And the good thing about this is that it's a day of revival. Because as the word of God runs, there's this inverse relationship where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. And where there's great darkness, God's light shines all the brighter. So we're excited, not about people hurting and suffering. We're excited about the word of God going forth. So don't be afraid. The mantra in the word of God is fear not, fear not, fear not, little flock. Your God is great. He's got you in the palm of his hand, and nothing goes bump in the night but that God is its God. So God is the God of Ebola, or as the good representative from Houston calls it, Ebola. Oh, by the way, did you read in the newspaper about Houston? The city is demanding all the pastors turn in their sermons and sermon notes, and they want to know who's speaking against the first outed homosexual mayor of the city of Houston, because they're passing ordinances to allow men to go into women's bathrooms, and it's all about supporting the transgender crowd, and it's beginning to look a lot like Sodom everywhere I go. Well, here we go. So you might as well have revival. If you're going to live for, if you've been thinking about ever having a prayer life, you better get one. If you've been thinking about living for God, you better just get down and live for God. If you've been waiting on something to happen to motivate you, you're dumb, deaf, and blind if you can't see what's happening around you right now. Okay. Colossians 3. So we this weekend, we're working on let the word of God let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So let's move into in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so he's telling this Hellenistic cultural group from Colossae, he's telling them that there's a new culture you have to come into, and you can't sing the old songs of the Grecian culture anymore. I don't know what they were, but that was a terrible culture and very hedonistic culture. And he said, you got to quit singing all that, and now you got to come and sing the new song. David said, I cried unto the Lord. He heard my cry. He lifted me up out of a deep pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. So your new song is not the blues, and you're not singing old country western junk anymore, and you're not singing all that junk that was out there in the world that talks about running around with other people's wives and husbands and how it is down at the honky-tonk and all the things they sing about. You don't, God's people don't sing that stuff. You say, well, I sing that stuff. Well, that's what I just said. God's people don't sing that stuff. So you have to sing the new song. And so Paul's dealing with that here. And these features should be woven into your personal life, your familial life, and the church family life. A culture of singing, a culture of psalms, a culture of hymns and spiritual songs. It's organic to the experience. When you get the Holy Ghost, the first thing that happens to people when they get the Holy Ghost, they start singing. They start writing songs. They start just singing about the good things of God. And it's just so very nice and very refreshing to be around the people of God. You can tell they always want to talk about the things of God. They're always singing about the things of God. And whether they can sing or not, they'll sing at the drop of a hat about the good things of God. Paul says in Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Brother Jasper saw that in the Pentecostal Doctrine book last week, and he shot out a text to someone and said, well, I guess I can't drink anymore. And that's exactly the intent here. Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. He did not say don't get drunk, because now there's an entire, you know what was going on here Sunday night? Friend of mine, when we were leaving this place Sunday night and just hanging around and loitering around and staggering around here Sunday night, that what we were having and what we were feeling and what we were experiencing is why people buy little bags of dope and why they go down to the corner bar and why they drink and why they snort and why they do all that. They're trying to find what we were experiencing in the house on Sunday night. The good part is you wake up, you feel great the next morning. It doesn't make you have a headache or throw your grits up or anything like that. You don't have to drink the hair of the dog the following morning to get a cure for it. You just, it's sweet. It's good. It's great. It's the Holy Ghost. Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Everyone say, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves, and this is almost the same letter to Ephesus that he has written here to Colossae. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So God puts a song in your heart. Old Testament, David said a new song. Here Paul says God puts a song in your heart. And if you don't have a song in your heart, you don't have enough Holy Ghost in your heart. If you're still grumbling and griping and complaining and worrying and anxious and just miserable, you need more Holy Ghost. You just had a little bit. You need to get drunk on the Holy Ghost. You need to get... Now, Brother Blash, when he comes at some point, I'll get him to do the piece that he does on the fact that they've done studies with post-traumatic stress disorder, and they found that that it is such a traumatic event, and people suffer that in war, they suffer it in traffic accidents and in violence in the street, all kinds of things. And to overcome that, you've got to have a more violent type of experience that buries that or that transcends that. And he's an advocate of you getting the Holy Ghost like a train blowing through a station or a bolt of lightning. He's in favor flavor of the Holy Ghost coming down on you and shaking you all over and moving you and stirring you to the degree that it overshadows everything else in your life. Praise God. So we'll get him to talk to you. He can tell you how that works clinically. I just know what it looks like in the church service. But Paul wants you to sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. And that is symptomatic of the people of God. And if you don't have a song in your heart, it's not that you need to go and fix all the things that are wrong in your life, because you never will. You need to get closer to God. The problem with the sinner is not their sin. The problem with the sinner is the distance from God. The problem in your life right now is not all the chaos in your life or your home or your family. The problem is you need to get closer to God. Whatever it is, it's keeping you away from prayer. It's keeping you away from worship. It's keeping you out of the presence of God. You can have all sorts of nasty things going on in your life, but if you'll get close to God, I'll just tell you, there's miracles there. The word of God said, in his presence. And it begins to tell you about pleasure and things that are emitted by the presence of God. And so you need to get yourself into the presence of God. It will birth a song in you. Praise God. If you do tonight, shake your neighbor and tell him, I have a song in my heart. Now, don't lie. If you don't have a song, get close to God and get one. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, Paul says, and he's talking to the church at Corinth about speaking in tongues, the gifts of the Spirit, the order of the service, the order of church, prophecy, a multitude of things, all related to the gifts of the Spirit. And he's explaining about speaking in tongues, and he says this, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. Everybody say, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Okay, when do you pray with the understanding? When you want to. You pray when you want to. You don't need to pray when tragedy's coming. You don't need to pray when the car's spinning out of control. I mean, that's not the only time you should be praying. You should be willing yourself into the presence of God in prayer on a common and ordinary basis, so that it is routinized and it is something that you do commonly, and every day you need to be in the presence of God. He says, I will pray with the Spirit. Just like you pray in the understanding, you pray in the Spirit. You decide when you pray in the understanding. You decide when you pray in the Spirit. You decide when you pray in the understanding. You decide what you're going to pray. In praying in the Spirit, you don't get to decide what you're going to pray. You just pray. You pull the trigger on that, though. You say, well, I just can't do that. Well, you're not close enough to God. You're the same guy that doesn't have a song in his heart. You need to get close to God. You say, well, let me crank up a little bit, and I can get there if I crank up a little bit. Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You don't need cranking. You need to be instant. What do you think it means when he says be instant, in season, out of season? He says, be so close and so fluid. When Jesus was standing in front of Nicodemus, he said, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He was standing flat-footed in Palestine. But he was letting Nicodemus know he was in this natural realm and in the spiritual realm at the same time. Do you know if you have an outrageous prayer life, you can do that? You can witness at the drop of a hat. You can talk in tongues right now. You can be ready. We don't have to crank up and get ready to pray, because sometimes you don't have time for that. Sometimes we need a move of God right now, post haste. We need God to move on our behalf right now. And we don't need you to have to crank up, get out of your carnality. We need you there, ready, instant. So Paul says, I will pray with the Spirit. He's telling you that he does it by will. He also says in this chapter, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. And that's a part of the key of his having a fluid experience in praying in tongues, is because he does it a lot. He's talking in tongues all day long. And I'll pray with the understanding also. Now watch, I will sing with the Spirit. And I'll sing in the understanding also. And so you have a melody in your heart, and you sing when you want to sing, and you praise God when you want to praise God. And Paul says, and you can shift that thing, and you can move right on into singing in tongues. Praise God. And you don't have to know the lyrics. And I don't know how it is for you, but for me, I don't even have to know the tune. It just kind of comes. It's organic. It just kind of blows out all by itself. And I'm a bystander. Jude says that you build your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. Prayer is an exercise in faith because you're praying to a God you can't see. You're not satisfying the natural constraints. But when you shift gears and you begin to pray in tongues, it is exponentially more of a spiritual experience because now you're a bystander. You don't even know what you're saying. And so there, you're just like, I'm talking to God. God's praying out through me. God's, and all I can do in my head is just say, amen, praise God, thank God. That's just great. You can sing in the Spirit. You should be singing in the Spirit. Praise God. All right. I'm not going to do it. Some of you are terrified. I'm going to do a workshop tonight, and you're going to all be singing in the Spirit. But I'm not going to do it. I should, but I'm not going to do that tonight. So Paul says, when I get ready, I sing in my understanding. When I get ready, I pray in my understanding. When I get ready, I pray in the Spirit. And when I get ready, I sing in the Spirit. Praise God. It's just like praying in the Spirit. You just give it a little melody and just let it move a little bit. It really is nice. You ought to do this. You need to, I guess, get off by yourself. But you need to be able to do that in church. You need to be able to flow in that and just have that going on in your life. There is a dimension in prayer and in moving in the Spirit that you can't experience if you're not doing this. This is just like the people that don't get the Holy Ghost because they don't believe in the Holy Ghost. You don't sing and pray in tongues every day. It's because you don't really believe that you can. Praise God. Okay. Jesus and his disciples, Matthew 26 and verse 30. This is at the Last Supper. Are you okay? Praise God. Matthew 26 and 30. At the Last Supper, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, they don't tell us what they sang. And they don't tell us. Some speculate that it was the Hallel. The Hallel is really long because it's like Psalms 113 to 118. And so it's a lot of... That's a lot of song. But they sang something, and it tells me that they all knew it, and it's probably something that they were raised on in the synagogue, a song like a hymn that we sing or a worship song that we sing, and they all sat around there at that last wonderful bit of fellowship together, and they sang together. They had prayed together, and now they're singing together. They had eaten together. And you see how this is all woven into the culture. Paul talks about you need to have melody in your heart. David said, sing the new song. Paul says, we sing in the Spirit. And here at the Last Supper, Jesus and the disciples, he's about to go and be taken through the city, beaten up, savaged, and crucified. And the last thing he does with his disciples is sing a song, and then he takes them out to a prayer meeting. Praise God. This is all very interesting to God. God's focus is on his people, and God's focus is he is attenuated to your talking about him and singing about him. Malachi chapter 3 and beginning in verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. You see, it's all in their culture. They're talking to one another about him. They're thinking about him. He is on their mind. I hear Romans chapter 8 saying that if you've got a carnal mind, you're thinking about carnal things. Your fleshly mind, you think about fleshly things. You got a spirit. If you're spiritually minded, then you think about spiritual things. All you have to do is take your own pulse. Just read your own symptoms. What's on your brain all day long? What's on your brain? Is your brain in the gutter all day long? If it is, you need to get... That's not your problem. That's not your problem. You just need to get closer to God. You get closer to God, everything gets blown out. It's a river of living water. It's a well springing up into everlasting life. It washes everything out. You get your brain washed by the washing of the water of the Word. And all of a sudden, you start thinking about Him. You remember how it was when you first got the Holy Ghost? You would dream about Him. You would wake up speaking in tongues. If it's been a long time since that happened to you, you just need to get closer to God. You need to get back into the presence of God. Do what you did. It needs to be as vast a departure in behavior as it was when you first came to God. Praise God. You say, well, I don't think about him all the time. I don't talk about him all the time. I don't sing in tongues. I don't talk in tongues all the time. Well, you're stuck. You're stuck and you're carnal more than likely. And you're worried about a lot of stuff that really God can take care of. You just got to get it into the presence of God. Praise God. Praise God. So the Lord heard it. They thought on his name. And he says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels and I spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So talking, this has to be a cultural thing in your family and in your own life and in the church family, talking about the things of God. I don't care if you're interested in soccer, talking about soccer. And if you're interested in shopping, talking about shopping. And those are just the things of life. Somebody's going to be talking about pork bellies and somebody's going to be talking about war and some all kinds of things. But if that dominates your conversation, you are carnal. It can't. These things, this is what the world talks about. This is how they live. This is what they think about. But the scripture is saying here, you need to have one of these spooky familial settings where you're talking about the stuff of God. You're singing songs about God in the house of God and with the people of God. It ought to be an ongoing discourse about what God is doing and how good God is and what's happening over here. How many got baptized? Who's coming to church? What was your Bible study like? What happened to you in church Sunday night? Did you see what happened in church? My goodness gracious, you ought to walk on the job. Man, you should have been with me in church last night. You ought to try to explain that to some denominational person. Well, what happened in church Sunday night? Well, they were shouting and they were dancing from the pulpit to the door. They were running and they were screaming and brand new converts were twisting and falling out and talking in tongues. And they never saw that before. They just got on them. And that's what happened in church. What happened at your church? The culture at Jesse's house produced the psalmist of Israel. You got to think about what was it like at Jesse's house to produce a David. And Jesse gets mentioned, and we don't know much about him, but the scripture says that Jesus is the root of Jesse. Now, in 1 Samuel 16, we're going to cherry pick a few scriptures here. 16, 17, 18, and 23. And we use this passage when we're talking about spiritual things and praise. But let's think about it in terms of how David was shaped and what David was like personally and what kind of family culture he came out of. 1 Samuel 16, 16. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. This is when Saul was backslidden, and Saul was having visitations of evil spirits, the Bible said, from the Lord. Says it all through that passage. And so the servant said, you command us, we'll go find a guy that can play and sing, and the evil spirit will have to leave. The common knowledge was that you create an atmosphere and evil spirits have to leave. You really do want a song in your heart. You really do want a song in your house, and you really do want a song, a vibrant, organic song in the house of God. Because spirits are attendant to all sorts of human behavior. There are spirits that attend to gossip. There are spirits that attend to malice. There are spirits that attend to hatred or to variance or things that are divisive. There are spirits that are predatory and they take advantage of those openings, and they take advantage of you in those moments when you're under that, and those spirits will attach to you as you open your mouth and create a way for them. You understand how the Bible says, don't make a place for the devil. When you handle these things that are not like God, you make a place for the devil, and there are demonic spirits that come and nest in those kinds of conversations and nest in those ruminations in your head. Did your mama ever tell you, you can't stop the buzzards from flying over, but you can keep them from lighting on you? Well, that's a colloquial expression that means you can chase the devil away if you want to. There's a real problem if you don't want to. So So Saul says, and Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Somebody that has a culture of music. Somebody that understands culturally how to play. Now, they didn't have country western and rock and roll and all this stuff. They didn't have Motown back there. They just had singing unto God. And the Philistines had their music, and the Amalekites had their music. But David was in a household that had music unto God. And we don't listen to Amalekite music, and we don't listen to Egyptian music, and we don't, because they talk about things, and they take you places, and they celebrate things, and they stir up your mind, and a song will take you back in time and light a torch in you that you don't need lit. So he said, provide me a man that can play well and bring him to me. And then one of the servants said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing. And he's a mighty valiant man. And he's a man of war and prudent in manners. And he's good looking. He's a comely person. And the Lord is with him. Now, I don't know if having a song in your heart will change your looks. But I do know that all of these things were in the house of Jesse. He is good with music. He's valiant. He's a man of war. And he's a prudent man. And God is with him. And he has a song as a central part of his life. Now, I want you to think about this and entertain this. What does a culture of song and praise produce in a life? What does it produce in a family? I want you to know that if it's centered around the things of God, it is extremely productive. It can be very, very productive in your life. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul. We're in verse 23. David took a harp and played with his hand. And we don't know what he played. He might have played devils in the phone booth, dialing 911. What did he dial? See, I don't know those songs. Can you help me, Dawson? So I don't know what he played, but so Saul was refreshed and the evil spirit departed from him. Somebody sang and played and the evil spirit had to pack up and move on. Now that is pretty neat. So you want a song in your life. You want a song for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is that it drives away evil spirits. And you want a song in your family. If there's tension there and fussing and cussing and fighting and variance and disagreements and you can't love one another, well, you're carnal again. You see, that's the problem there. You're not all full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost makes you sweet and kind and nice and considerate and gentle and all of that. So having a song in your house is a very important thing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It'll drive. Tell your neighbor, get a song. It'll drive away that devil that's been bothering you. Praise God. Well, I feel so productive and fulfilled. We made our way through one verse of Scripture. Well, actually, half a verse, because we did a half on Sunday morning. We are screaming down the biblical highway. The next verse is verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So we're going to work on this, but we won't have time to do it tonight. But this is such a powerful statement. It should be very apparent to anyone that if you pray for your babies, you do it in Jesus' name. You pray over the food, you do it in praise God. You pray for rain, for the crops, you do it in Jesus' name. You baptize somebody, you do it in whatever you do in word or deed. Ain't nobody baptized in the Bible in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Padre, Hijo, y el Espíritu Santo. Nobody knew about the Trinity in the Bible. And so everything you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. And who gets glory when you do things in the name of Jesus? God and the Father, it says here. You understand the complication of that? It says, giving thanks to God and the Father. If a Trinitarian really believes their doctrine and they separate God based on titles, then there's not three, there's four by this scripture, because it's God and the Father. And so now you got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and God. And it's worse than that, because there's all kinds of titles of God throughout the Bible. We're gonna work on this some more next Wednesday night. If you love His Word and you love what He's doing in your life and you're hungry for a song in your life, let's give God some praise and magnify Him. I give you praise, O God, I magnify you. Blessed be the name above every name. We worship you, O God. We praise you, O God. We bless your name, O God. Now, while we're doing this, I want you just begin to sing and praise God in a song. Come on, any song you like, pick it. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing around you. Go ahead, just begin to sing. Just begin to magnify Him in song. Praise God. Praise God. No, come on, sing. Sing. Sister Bonnie, sing. See, you're so loud. That's why I'm not singing, because I'm too loud here. Now sing in the Spirit. And you're embarrassed, some of you. But you ought not be any more than you would be to pray in the Spirit. You ought to just let that melody flow and let that heavenly language flow and be instant in season, out of season. Let that Holy Ghost flow. Every time you do, something good goes off in you. Our world has a little bit more of God. They have a little more hope. There's a little more light. There's a little more salt. You get a little less like your world and a little more like God. You need to have a song in your heart, and you need to sing it. All right. God bless you. It's so good to be here in the house with you tonight. Good to have visitors in the house with us, and just really, really glad and excited for what God's doing in your home and in your family. Brother Butch, why don't you pray over the meal tonight for us, man?